speak to you in the name of our one God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. A friend of mine from seminary is a priest in South Florida. And this past week, he buried a young woman, part of his youth group, who had been a student at the Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. After this tragedy, we now have demonstrations and protests and letter-writing campaigns and donations and withholding of funds and boycotts, and we have arguments and conversation and discussions about how best to make our children and our schools safer. And the arguments do rage. Fewer guns in the wrong hands, more guns in the right hands. Restrictions on accessories, age limits, more mental health care, more programs for troubled youth. It's multifaceted, passionate arguments on all sides, very complex. And whatever you feel you must do or say in the wake of this tragedy, ground your words and actions, I pray, I encourage you, in your faith in God. And above all, in your faith, in God's faith, in other people. Because your faith and God's faith and trusting that God has faith in everybody else is what brings hope. And hope allows us to imagine a different future. Hope allows us to imagine compromises, allows us to imagine respecting those with whom we disagree or with whom we think are not doing enough. Hope grounded in faith. Now, faith can be defined as trusting God to make good on God's promises. And today we have the story of Abraham and God's covenant with Abraham as a faith story. We often look at it from Abraham's perspective, how Abraham responded. But let's look and remind ourselves that God spoke first. God reached out to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me. God had faith in Abraham before Abraham even knew it and promised him the covenant before Abraham said anything at all. I will make you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. And God had faith in Sarah before she even knew it and blessed her and promised that she would be the mother of kings. Not just one king, not just one nation, but a multitude. A multitude. And Abraham then falls on his faith, face in faith. That's his response of faith. And he and Sarah trust that God will make good on God's promises to bring them this multitude. And Paul picks up this faith story in this part of the letter to the Romans that we heard today. And here he's focused on Abraham's faith that came before the demand for circumcision, before the Torah law. Abraham's faith came first. And Paul uses this rather convoluted sentence structure. He says that Abraham's faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Well, one way to think about that colloquially is that Abraham's faith was credited to him as membership in the covenant. It was the faith that meant that he was in the covenant. And what Paul does is he says what's true for Abraham is also true for the Gentiles, for the non-Jews. And so they too are part of God's covenant. God has faith in them first. They believe and trust in God's promises through Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the salvation, mercy, and love. And so these Gentiles are part of this multitude of nations promised to Abraham, and you and I in that category as well, this multitude of nations. Now, to be clear, for Paul, faith is a symptom of the covenant, a symptom of God's faith in the individual, not a condition. God's covenant is unconditional and everlasting. Unconditional so that even if we are uncertain or we doubt, the covenant is not voided. Abraham and Sarah doubted, right? They laughed when they were told they were going to have children. Covenant wasn't voided. Disobedience doesn't void the covenant. The whole Old Testament is following a story of a disobedient people, and the covenant still stood. And lack of faith doesn't void the covenant either. I believe that even though God wants us to be faithful, God wants us to obey, that God is standing there waiting, reaching out to us in faith, every single one of us, even those with whom we disagree, reaching out in faith. And whether we respond or they respond with faith, God is still there, having faith, trusting in each and every one of us. And this is the beginning of hope. Beginning of hope. Jim Wallace defined hope as trusting in God in spite of the evidence and watching the evidence change. And trusting in God, I've just said, is one way of thinking of faith. So faith in God in spite of the evidence and watching the evidence change. This is our Creator God we're talking about. And Paul says it so wonderfully in the middle of our section today that we read. He says, this is the God who brings life to the dead and calls into existence that which did not exist before. So in creation, we have light out of darkness. We have order out of chaos. In Abraham's life, we have faith where there was no faith. We have a child, Isaac, born out of the infertility of old age of Sarah and Abraham. Jesus, we have resurrected life out of death. And maybe for you and me, we have hope out of no hope. This comes together. So no matter where you stand on this issue of how to make our children safer, no matter where you stand, remember that God has faith in each and every one of us, including those with whom you disagree, and that God can call out of this, can change the evidence in front of our eyes, even as you and I must do what we need to do, because we surely must do and say what we need to say, because we are acting on God's behalf. But the hope comes from trusting that God has faith in all of us. Hope that means perhaps the evidence will change. Let me give you an example. I have a friend on Facebook, and I've known her for a long time, since my childhood days, and she's an Episcopalian. She's quite faithful, and she is really, really challenging on Facebook. I find her really, really hard. And she's argumentative. She's very angry. She's callous. I mean, there are times when she's schooling people, she's schooled parents in how their children should be responding after, in face of disappointment after the 2016 election. She's not a parent. She's schooling African Americans in how to respond after a police shooting, and she's not African American. And I have, and in the wake of other tragedies, Las Vegas and Sutherland Springs, she would post articles about other tragedies with commentary about the importance of those tragedies, such as terrorism in Syria or the number of monthly shootings in Chicago, surely tragedies in their own right, but obfuscating the matter at hand with which we were trying to grapple. And she loses Facebook friends, it's true, and she'll tell you that. But I had, despite all of my disagreements with her, and how much I dislike her persona on Facebook, I have to remember that God still has faith in her. Despite all the evidence that she might give me and others, that somehow she's outside that covenant, that somehow God has lost faith in her, God still has faith in her. And so I have to hope. I have to hope. After the recent tragedy at Parkland, I went to look at her page. I don't normally do that. But I went to see because I wanted to know what she might have said. You all probably have friends like this. Maybe it's even you. I had to look and see what she said. And there was nothing. There was nothing argumentative. There was nothing callous. There were no obfuscating articles about some other tragedy. What I found was that I had to scroll a really, really long way. And instead of anger and argument and callousness, I found posts about God's love and God's generosity. I found Lenten prayers, daily prayers. I found articles about leaving anger behind. I found Advent prayers. I mean, I was really going back. And I didn't find one thing. And I had to ask myself, am I watching the evidence change? God still has faith in her. And I need to trust that. Because something is changing. Something was changing. These stories today that we heard give us hope. In these stories, it's our good news because it's our Creator God who has created this everlasting and unconditional covenant and who has faith in each and every one of us. So as you go and do what you need to do and say what you need to say, ground it in this faith. And remember and trust that God has faith in all of us, even with those with whom you disagree and those you think aren't doing enough. God still has faith in them. And maybe slowly, as we do and say, we will start watching the evidence in ourselves and in others change, little by little, individually, one at a time, adding up to change that really matters. This is hope. This is hope grounded in God's everlasting, unconditional faith in all of us. Amen.